She's the talk of the town. I'll be around to hear what Marge will say. What's going on in our hometown? What's the buzz today? She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give Marge a cheer. Marge Hazelnut. She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give her a cheer. Marge Hazelnut.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Friday, Getaway Friday, July the 20th, 2018, 7/20/18, 14 minutes past the hour. This is the Talk of the Town with Marge Hazelnut. Marge, here we are, another Friday, but boy, it's dreary. But from what I understand from the farmers, they needed the rain.
Oh, we need it desperately. We watered the other night our flowers, and they were really needing it. And when I got up this morning, I had prayed last night before I went to bed, please get some rain in here because it's hard for me to water. And so anyway, Penny and I did that the other night, and she did most of it. But I want to say one thing before I forget. My sister is now 80 years old. Young. Happy birthday, Loretta. I didn't know if you were ever going to make it to 80, but thank God you have. And she's having some things going on that people are going to be attending. And so she wanted a steak dinner tonight. I told her I'd pay for it. She knows she was paying for it. But I don't like steak that well. But I told her, I said, why don't you just get one piece of steak and I'll just take a little corner because I really don't care for it. And I said, then I'll get a potato or something with it. So it shouldn't cost her very much for it. But we're looking forward to that. And we've got some people that are asking to be on our program. And that makes me feel thrilled to death. And, of course, I'm sure that the I don't know how to say this. I don't know. Are you owner or what are you? Anyway?
Program director.
Program director. Okay, now I've got that figured out. But anyway, it's a fun thing to do. I enjoy every moment of it. And I know that we're, you know, going pretty good here.
Yeah, things are going well. I have not foreseen any problems.
Well, I'm really pleased to be here. And I don't know about Nan. I tried calling them today, and I got nowhere. So I don't know if they were having a problem or what was going on, but I don't want to call them anymore. You know, I'm going to quit doing that. I've been calling her and inviting her every week, but I think when she can, she'll call us.
Yeah, she'll let us
know.
So
I'm not going to, I don't like doing that type of thing because I don't believe in bugging people, and I know she has her hands full. So we're with you on prayer, and we're with you all the time. I think about her. She's a wonderful person. So we'll get her back on as soon as we can. So I think that's all the news, birthdays, getting Nan back on, and what have you. And even though it's a gloomy day out there, I'm lucky to be alive, and so are you.
Yes,
and
yes.
So we're going to go ahead and do something.
We're
going
to have fun.
We're going to have fun. We always have fun.
Now, you have two sisters still
living.
Yes,
I have an older sister, Marjorie, over in Upper Sandusky. And she's married to a Kaler, and they're very known over there. And then I have a younger sister, Loretta, and she's has four children, and her husband got killed in World War II. He was a Marine and lost his life to the service and was always dedicated to the Marines. I'll never forget when those five or six young men left that afternoon a bus. We were all in school. They made a round to thank everybody, and they were going to the Marines, and they were going to make something out of themselves. And my brother-in-law did, but he died very young.
Now, we had also talked to you had a brother, right, Marge?
No.
Who was the one who died in Vietnam?
Yeah, Larry.
Oh, it was him.
Yeah. He had his husband.
You know, that time period was so difficult.
Oh, my. Mm. And to identify his body was the hardest thing I ever had to do.
Oh, you did it.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
And he looked good.
Yeah, good.
You know, but left four children.
Yeah. You know, that is tough. I was thinking about that last night, how no matter when it comes, the person who has died, it doesn't really impact. But the people who are left, that's a hard thing to deal with.
Well, I want you to know that the children were very successful. I thank my mom and dad for helping Loretta. And Loretta was a good mom. She had to work in factories. She had to do a lot of different things that she never had done before. And that was something my father never wanted any of us to have to do. Fortunately, I never had to work in a factory. My sister Margie never did. But Loretta had to, and she had the four children, and it was hard. But my mother was very helpful to her, and money-wise, they helped her a lot. And I'm pleased for that. So anyway, we're here. Her children are extremely successful, and I'm proud of them. They're college graduates, and of course, they did use their money wisely. The government was good to them about helping them get through college with money. Of course, we all, you know, helped where we could. But I just want to say that if you want something bad enough, you have to work for it, and you can do it. And I know I did, and I'm pleased that I've been blessed with, you know, the opportunity to have gone on. I was with the university 51 year plus. I was proud of that. And I really have enjoyed life. It's been good to me.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was talking with Charlie the other day, and I there was a gentleman who was, it was a terrible story, but he was killed, complications from a traffic accident here in town last Thursday. Mm-hmm. And he was 87. And, you know, still out driving, mm-hmm. still doing his thing. And, you know, I think the key to living a long life, I've come to realize this by the people I'm around, is to never fully retire.
Right. Agree with you. And that's why I'm so happy that I'm on this program.
Yeah.
I want to tell people, too, that I was scared to death to go down to Worthington Square to meet my friend, who we've been friends for years, and she picked me up and then took me over to the hospital. And I'm going to try going by myself. I hope I make it and come back alive. But anyway, people told me how bad that tunnel was. And wouldn't you know, Marge gets right up there in the middle of Delaware Express. I thought, oh no, this is what people told me to be afraid of. Doesn't look bad to me. So I charged in there. It was quite long, really, to me. And I went right straight through there, and I thought it was fun. I liked to turn around and come back through again, but it was fun. And so I'm not afraid of that. I think I can drive down to the hospital. I really do. I'm going to try it. We'll see if I make it and back all right. But anyway, that's in a couple weeks I'll be doing that. But don't frighten people, especially us older people. We have been around this trail many times, and we haven't been afraid. And I want people to quit making me afraid. Just say, "It's signs are up. They're beautifully done. You can go and you can do it." But you can't be told you can't. I drove right through that stuff. I didn't think it was that bad.
You know, I just tell people where to go, and I figure if anything bad happens, they'll pull over to
That's
the side of the road.
Well, of course, you can't if you're in the express lane.
No,
you're in that lane.
You're in that lane.
But I'm telling you, it wasn't bad. Everyone seemed to be doing what they were supposed to do. Now, I wasn't in the heaviest traffic because I was in the middle of the day, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. And don't be afraid of the tunnel. I thought it was a hoot. So I really enjoyed that. So I'm not afraid now to go down there. I felt like turning around and going back and repeating it right then and there to make sure I knew how to do it.
The only thing I worry about is gas. Always make sure you have enough gas in your car.
Before I went, I went to my favorite place where I buy my cars, and they've assured me that everything checked out, but I should come back in when I get back and get it really checked over again because I haven't had that done lately. So I'm going to go in and do that. But as long as you got your gasoline full, I had my tank full, I made sure I knew where I was going, and I was so proud when I saw that expressway say Delaware. I thought, wow, I'm on my roll here. I'm going. So don't be afraid.
When we went to Pittsburgh back in March, I think it was, we were coming back and we stopped off and ate. And I had about a quarter tank of gas left. And I thought, well, it'll give us a chance. I'll go a little further and then we can get out and stretch our legs again and then drive the duration. And drove and drove and drove and drove, and there was no turnoffs. And I keep watching that gas gauge go down, down, down. And then I see, oh my goodness, there's a turnoff. Now, it doesn't look like a metropolitan area, but it looks like somewhere where there's a gas station. So we go down this road and go down, 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 down. And I look to my right and I think, oh goodness, there's a gas station. So I pull over at the gas station, go in, they're out of gas. And I said, where's the next gas station? They said, well, you go down this road, and then you turn left, and then you go over the tracks. And it was, a little bit of a distance, and I'm on E at this point. Total E. But we did, you have never seen somebody so happy as when we saw that gas station about 3 miles from where
and
this little
open.
Place
was.
It was open.
And they had gas.
We got the gas. But, boy, you gotta really keep that tank up because you don't know when you're on the interstates when the next turnoff will be.
Well,
when the next
I
gas
drove
station.
A lot for the school districts, and I always made sure that I had full tanks because sometimes I would be in construction where if you turned off your car, it was off and on and off and on, and they told me to keep the car full of gas and not do that it wasn't good for it to be turning off and on all the time. So anyway, I learned that lesson, but I'm a real freak when it comes to going out and getting gasoline, getting my tires checked, and make sure if I'm going out of town. Because you never know. Like you said, the gas could be not even available to you. There isn't any.
Yeah. So. There are long stretches on interstates sometimes where there are no gas stations.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you don't want to roll in without any gasoline.
No, you sure don't. So people, we're trying to help you drive your car more safely. And I know that I really do watch my gas tank, and I still have 3/4 of a tank left. So I feel like I've done quite well with it. My car, it seems like it just runs on air. It doesn't take a lot of gas.
You know what I used to worry about was keeping a gas, a gas
can.
Gas can in your trunk because I thought, what if you get rear-ended, would that explode? Now, I don't know if it would or not. I really don't know. I mean, maybe that's just my paranoia. Nobody ever told me that. But I thought, boy, if you ever got rear-ended and you had a gas tank, a gas bucket, in your trunk, would that explode? I mean, gasoline's very flammable. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I was worried about carrying it in there because of that.
I think if anybody has that information, it would be well to share it with our audience because a lot of people may have that question, but when we have an opportunity to ask about it, we get waylaid and don't ask about it.
Yeah, 740-383-9944 if you'd like to weigh in on anything. 740-383-9944. I saw that a restaurant went out downtown recently.
Oh, really? Which one's that?
Trays?
Trays? Oh, okay.
Something like that. I'd never been there, they're continuing on their work downtown. Some things just don't work out.
I can't remember, but we have been talking about that quite a bit. And somebody talking to me said, well, if they would just make that back like it was, we wouldn't have that problem. And I thought, did you listen to WWGH? And she said, come to think of it, yes, I did. And that brought it back to my attention. So maybe people are starting to listen to us in that vein and that maybe we'll get something done. Who knows?
Well, that's not a knock on anybody. I would just like to know, and we don't have anybody on to tell us, but maybe somebody will tell us one day, why they cannot make Center Street and Church Street two-way again. Mm-hmm. I mean, we certainly have the space to do it.
Right.
So I'm not sure. If we just got rid of those two turnstiles, the one on Church and the one on Center here, if we just got rid of those turnstiles and made them two-way again, what would be the issue? I mean, they're two-way after the turnstiles. So why do we have to have them one way?
Maybe we ought to talk to them, make an appointment to talk to them and see what they have to share with us. I don't know. I'm really gung-ho on getting something done to make this better downtown. I love the downtown. I've always loved the downtown. Now, Tiffin, they keep remodeling there all the time. I haven't been over there for a while. But it's amazing how many little towns are bubbling around and saying, hey, we want to get, you know, more people downtown, so we're going to modernize the downtown.
Downtowns have become a thing. Downtowns have become a big thing with people that they want people to be downtown. Okay, well, I think we got to start looking at this structurally.
Right.
And we've got to stop looking at it as business-wise, because I have come to realize I think you could have the best business in the world downtown, and I don't know that it's going to bring business there because of location.
Right.
So you just got to make the location a little different.
Right, and people want to get there and back safely, but they also want to get there in a timely manner. And I don't think it's a timely manner, because the other day, Margaret, driving down, you know, whipped right past that a restaurant that I told you that I always have to worry about it because I'm going to miss it. And that's Warehouse. And if I miss it and I live here, well, people come out of town because it kind of sits back.
Well, that's the problem, because if you miss it, you have to first realize that you have missed it, and then you've got to go down an alley or a side street, come back up, go back far enough to be able to turn back around, mm-hmm. and that can be very difficult.
It's not that they don't have plenty of parking once you get there and find it, because you can go down kind of in a lower area if it isn't snowing or raining and flooding or something, but I don't ever remember seeing it ever do any of those things. So, you know, let's be fair to the people who are down there. Try to make it downtown, and maybe things will come back. I don't know. I never feel that we should say it's impossible. I don't think it's impossible. I think if we get the right people on a committee and get this thing looked into, I think something could be solved.
I really do, and I think there are people downtown who are working on ideas. I know there was a big, what do they call it, Third Thursday down there last night. I don't know what the turnout was like, but I hope it was good.
Yeah.
You know, I think they bring in the food trucks and the beer trucks, and they have some live entertainment down there, so I hope that's good.
Good. I hope so, too. So we've covered quite a bit here this morning.
So far.
You know, to actually say we're really interested in trying to help the people go downtown.
Have you ever been to the farmer's market? I've never been.
No, I think I have been when it first came about, but I haven't been down there lately. I guess they give coupons. Friends of mine go down there all the time.
Yeah.
They love going. I don't eat at home that much, so I hate to take food or coupons away when I know I'm not going to be using them. I won't do that.
Well, so. I guess they allow you to use the food card downtown now.
The what?
The food card that people have.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I guess they take that downtown now.
Oh, my. That's good.
Well, good for people.
Yes.
Because that's healthy food,
I understand. My friends love it. You know, they don't even need to. It's not money with them. It's they like going to it.
Yeah. And it's fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. I think, and all mm-hmm. those stores. And I know a lot of it's grown right here in Marion.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know why more people aren't going to that. Maybe it's location, or maybe a lot of people are going to it. I don't know. I've never been.
I don't
been.
Know either. I don't know, but I know that my friends all go to it. You know, I just don't because I eat out a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think that our diets are an interesting thing, because I always hear about all this organic, but I don't know if that's the right way to go.
I don't know either.
I really don't.
I don't know what they mean by it, to tell you the truth.
Well, it's something about no pesticides or anything like that, but if there were a large amount of pesticides, wouldn't we all have died?
I would think so. Do you know, I think about arsenic. When we were fixing the cabbage up, we sprinkled that on it. You know, I probably ate a lot of arsenic when I was a kid. That's why probably I have cancer, too.
No, you put that on cabbage? Arsenic?
Well, we did before we harvested it. you know.
To kill the weeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, to kill the weeds.
And bugs and whatever.
Well, how do they kill the weeds on organic food if they don't put pesticides on it?
I don't know. If somebody knows, please call in and tell us.
Yeah, how do they do that?
383-9944.
Yeah, 740-383-9944. Because I thought the reason they put pesticides on the food was to keep the bugs away.
But yeah, I thought so too.
But so if you don't put the pesticides on them and it's organic, how do you keep the bugs away?
I don't know, but I can remember my father doing it. But he'd always say, get in the house, kids, or go over there and stand or whatever. And we had an orchard. And we did something to that, too. I wish my tractor talked, because if my tractor talked, he'd tell us a lot. And I'm so proud of that tractor. So please go out to the museum. My tractor's out there. It's a 1938 Huber. Beautiful tractor. Beautiful.
Do you remember after Vietnam when veterans got ill, they said it was from Agent Orange?
Yes.
You know, I don't know.
Don't hear about that anymore, do
No, we? I don't know if it's because people have gotten older and people have died, but, it's horrible that happened. I don't know. There were so many things in this country, I think, that we did before we knew better.
Right.
Like dropping Agent Orange on the enemy, but then it got in the air and it went back to our people. And then we had the pesticides. And, you know, if you go back to the 50s and you look, they say, well, eat from the four food groups. Well, if you do that now, they think you were crazy. That's mm-hmm. not what you do. You're supposed to have dairy and wheat. And it's not right. Right. Now, everything's changed. Then they went to a food pyramid, and that thing was the most confusing thing in the world. And now, I don't even know if they have anything anymore.
I don't either.
I haven't heard about that for a long time, but I know I remember the four food groups. They were vegetables, fruits, grains, and dairy. But then they changed it. They decided that's not right for you. You don't do that. So then they came up with the food pyramid. But I don't know if that was right either. I don't know what you eat to live to be, 100.
I don't know. I'm 84, and I don't. I think I eat okay. I try to eat healthy, although I don't eat a healthy breakfast because I like sweets. That's my downfall.
In the breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just love a cookie not a whole big cookie, but a half a cookie or something like that.
Well, I think a cookie is good. The best time to eat it is for breakfast,
right?
Because then you burn it off.
Yes, that's why I do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I try to eat healthy. I try to eat something from the groups that you're supposed to be eating from.
But I don't know I just don't know. If somebody gave you a diet, fruits, vegetables. Yeah, we all know that. But what dressings are good? What can you put on the fruits? It's my understanding that the best fruits you can eat are strawberries and blueberries because there's very little sugar in those.
And I eat blueberries every day.
Yeah, blueberries are apparently the healthiest food because they have antioxidants in them and things like that. But they're expensive. That's a big problem we have, is healthy food is expensive.
Right. Well, Penny, who stays with me 3 or 4 days a week, bought a cake the other day, and it had blueberries in the middle of it, and all the way through it. She says, I know you eat blueberries all the time. I said, yes, I do, and I like them. And so she brought that cake home.
Well, how do we expect poor people to eat healthy if the food is so expensive?
They can't. Well, I know we didn't eat it when I was a kid. We actually canned everything that we ate. And I don't remember blueberries at all. I never ate them when I was a child. It probably was because my mother didn't like them, so we didn't eat them.
Well,
you eat what your parents feed you.
Well, the other day I went to the store, because I'm not a big breakfast person. I should be. I usually just have a yogurt. But I forgot the yogurt, so I went down and I was... Because healthy to me... is like one of those string cheeses, because there's no sugar in that, there's no flour, there's nothing. And I was looking at this little tiny string cheese, and it was $1.79.
Ooh.
And then I look at this pie Hostess pie that's bigger than the string cheese, 79 cents. Healthy food was a dollar more for less, for right. less food.
I know, and this is where it's so difficult for older people. First of all, they have to have other people go buy for them, and either they spend more than what the person can afford, or they just don't get it. You know, they can't purchase it.
Well, I don't understand why I do notice the cost of dairy is coming down, but you have to buy it in quantity. Like
oh,
if
yes.
you buy the string cheese, it's $1.79, but if you would go to the grocery store and buy a tub of cottage cheese, you could get that for $1.79, $1.89.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not at the store. You're
right.
at the convenience store, and
right.
you want to get it quick, and everything's more expensive there,
mm-hmm.
but not the cupcakes. The cupcakes
right.
still hover around 50 cents a dollar,
mm-hmm.
but the cupcakes aren't good for you. You shouldn't be eating the cupcakes. So it's a real problem.
It is. And especially when you're older, your taste buds change. You know, you want different things than what you used to eat. Or you say, I'm old now. It doesn't make any difference. I'm going to eat what I want to eat because I'm not going to be here very long. I don't talk like that. You know, I don't know when I'm going. Whenever that time comes, I'll go, I guess. But I won't know I'm going.
I don't worry about it.
Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Because I have two absolutely beautiful animals in my home. And every once in a while, I think to myself, I should really put them, out for adoption or something because they are a lot of work. But I love them. One of them is a cat that looked like my Snowball when I was a kid. He was called Snowball, and this cat looks just like him. He's black and white, and he's fuzzy, and he's just beautiful. The little girl, she is the real trigger. She gets the boy cat in the trouble. She just enjoys making him get in trouble. And he's the nicest guy that you could ever have. He always stands back. He has manners. He stands back and lets her eat first.
Hmm.
I mean, I can't believe a cat knows to do that.
Now, do your cats eat a lot?
They would if you let them. Yep, they get two meals a day. But they get generous.
Yeah.
What the doctor tells me to give them is what I give them.
I notice a lot of people have very big cats.
Oh, my gosh, they're heavy.
Yeah.
These animals are heavy. I can hardly pick them up. They're so heavy.
Well, see, I don't know if
But they don't look heavy.
Is it bad to overfeed them?
I don't know. I do what they tell me to give them.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I don't know.
I don't think it's good for them.
Well, see, I don't know the proportions for an animal.
Well, I've been told to give them dry food. They get a bowl piece for dry food, but it's not a big, heavy, big loaded bowl. Just a medium, an average size. And then I give them wet food, and they get a tablespoon of that each feeding. That's twice. So they eat a half a can. And they get water, they love water. They lay in the sink if they can, and they love to drink water. And my Kelly did too. Even on her deathbed, she drank water. So they love water.
Yeah, water is highly important. I forget how many days you can live without food, but I know it's not as long as water.
I know.
You can live a long time without food.
Well, the proof of that was these kids living in that cave.
Oh, that was awful.
Thank goodness we got them.
I
don't know how they ever managed to keep them alive.
It was scary. They were worried about the cave closing in or crumbling if they went down there, but they got them all out.
Well, they had a terrific leader that had to be plus.
Yeah.
Because he knew what he was doing.
You know, that's what we lack, I think, sometimes is leadership
mm-hmm.
in all areas of life. You got to have good leadership. If
Correct.
You don't have a good leader, then everything else goes flying out the window.
Well, I think this is what I'm seeing lacking in education. Is where is the leadership? There's stuff that we could forget about doing. It wouldn't be necessary. But we need to have the children taught to listen to the teacher, to listen to their parents, to listen. And that's something we're lacking. And I don't know if you found that when you went in classrooms or not.
Well, you know what I find interesting? I really have not had a bad experience. But I wonder sometimes, what do parents tell their kids about teachers? I remember there was a day where you said, respect your teacher, be nice to your teacher, pay attention to your teacher. I don't know if that still goes on because...
I doubt it.
Well, what is making the kids act out more? Because they do. Mm-hmm. There's something going on there in that dynamic.
I think it's tonight at 8 o'clock that they're going to have a program on something like that. And I know it's on the radio station here, WMRN?
Yeah, WMRN.
And they're going to have that on tonight at 8 o'clock. And I can't remember what the title was, but it'll be on at 8 o'clock on CBS.
That's good.
So I want to hear that tonight to see what they're going to talk about, how to work with your children, how to talk about respect and be able to help solve some problems.
You know, I remember early on in my student teaching, I was at an elementary school, and I was in a fifth grade classroom. And they were testing this kid because they didn't think the kid should go on to the next grade. Mm-hmm. And they let me sit in on this meeting where the tester and the principal and the teacher and the parents all got together and met. Mm-hmm. And the teacher and all of them were saying, well, I don't think the child should go on to the next grade. And boy, the father specifically, I remember, got very upset and said he's going to be away from his classmates. He just likes being outside. That's his only problem. And I don't know if that kid ever got passed or not, but it's ultimately the parents' decision.
Right. I don't know. There's benefits in some cases, but I think that there's other options that you could be using because maybe it's just one particular thing. Math was not my thing. And I loved it when I was little, just loved arithmetic. And I had a wonderful teacher, but she did the right thing. She came around and put a big C on your paper if you got it correct. I couldn't wait to get mine all filled up with those red things. I just loved it. If you have a teacher that motivates you, I don't care if it's a red circle or an OK mark or check mark or whatever it is or a plus, you work for things like that. I worked my little heart out for that. I couldn't wait to have her come around our desk. I put my hand up as fast as I could, whether it was right or wrong. But I learned from it, and I loved it, and I thought it was very much a motivator. So I did that when I taught. I used to do a lot of that kind of thing, you know, make the kids feel like they were really not perfect, but that they were succeeding.
You know, one thing I've noticed when I've been in schools, when I'm in elementary rooms, there's a lot of stuff in there. And I'm not talking about toys. I'm talking just a lot of paperwork, a lot of books, a lot of stuff laying around. And sometimes it's very hard when they leave you notes. Well, these books, this is over here, this is over here. Well, that's very difficult. High school, there's not much in the classrooms. It's just a desk usually, maybe a bookcase, maybe a cart that has some computers on it. It's a little easier because everything's usually laid out for you. But elementary school, it just seems like there's a lot of stuff in that room. A lot of, I guess it's because they have the kids all day. But boy, it's hard to find stuff.
Yes, I imagine. And you want to share with them how you know about all this information?
Well, I substitute from time to time, and it's always a good experience. But I, you know, there were times being in these rooms that are, it's very difficult. And, you know, you want to do your best, but I basically got to the point where I figured, you know, you can only do what you can do. And I did have one. They asked me to come do a French class, and I don't know any French. I've never taken French. So I said I'm not going to be very good at this because I don't know anything about it. I can't answer any questions because I don't know the language. I took Spanish when I was in
we were all encouraged
yeah,
to take that. Spanish. I did. I took French.
See, so I'm in this French class, and everything went okay. It wasn't. It was just book work. And I do remember that the teacher had left me a note because they can leave feedback. Now, you never really meet them. But she didn't like that I was there because I couldn't answer her questions. Well, I told them. You know, I said, I don't know anything about French. So, you know, there are funny experiences like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they're lucky to have a class that particular day and those particular subjects because I couldn't teach French. I don't know anything about it, and yet that's my heritage. My grandparents were French. I don't know anything about it. I wouldn't be able to say one word in it, to be honest with you. So I didn't know my grandparents. They died very young, so that all went with them.
I was talking to somebody last night about teaching ROTC.
Oh, yes.
Well, and I did that, and that's very different. Boy, those kids are motivated, structured, everything. But, you know, I've never been in the military, so basically I was just there to make sure that they did their drills. But it's interesting because when they came in the room, they had to knock on the door and salute. Well, their normal teacher is a veteran, a war person, a military person. Well, I'm not. So you don't salute me because I'm just a civilian. So they were all a little confused, but we got through it. Mm-hmm. They were good people.
Well, there's so much out there to be learned. And I'm a person that I love to learn, and I still like to. And I like to try to experiment. And, I mean, you never know on this station here what we're going to do. I mean, we always have things in mind. We have goals. We have things that we want to do. But we come out, I think, in the end fairly well. But it's interesting, all the things that we could talk about.
Well, that's why the Friday show that we do next hour, the exchange program, I think it's important. Because even though sometimes the subjects are not happy, well, news isn't supposed to be happy. News is out of the ordinary. Now, sometimes it can be happy, but I think you have to talk about that stuff because I don't know if people know what's real and what's fake anymore. And I make sure the subjects we talk about are true, you know, and then we can give opinions on them, which is that's fine. But, you know, you have to do this now because 80% of people are getting their information on the internet. And that is not, that's not good.
Nope. And then I'll have people say, oh, I read all about you on the internet or something. I go, I don't subscribe to that. I don't even have it. Then I found out they even had my picture on there. You know, I don't do that kind of stuff. And I don't really like it when people do that. You know, they should get my permission before they put my picture on there. I'm just not that kind of person.
Well, it's interesting. That's why we try to do things that are current, but the world's getting much smaller. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody in what I have found interesting is if you get on Facebook and you see all the news stories, 90% of them are national stories. It's local people talking about national things, not local things. So I think we can't neglect what's going on nationally or we would seem out of touch.
Right. That's true.
So you got to talk about what's going on nationally.
That's right.
You know, sometimes it's good news, sometimes it's bad news.
That's true.
So I don't know.
And I'd hate to measure it because I'm not, you know, into that in depth. So I would have a hard time being able to say whether it's good or bad. But you know what? We've lost our guys that used to call in all the time.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody's out there. 740-383-9944. Give us a call. We are here. 740-383-9944. Got about 9 minutes left in this program. Then we'll break and we'll come back with the 12 o'clock program. But if there's any subject that was of interest to you that Marge and I have talked about, we certainly would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. So it'll be interesting to see.
We'd love to hear from our old folk here that were on. I don't know if they were old or young or middle-aged or whatever. It doesn't make any difference because we're all various ages here. But love to hear from you. Miss hearing your cheerful voices.
Well, and I think they're out there and they're driving around and they're having a good time. And I tell you, the weather does affect people, and this is a dreary day.
That's what I was thinking about as I was getting in the car, because I had to get my rain hat out and had to get my little jacket on and get in the car and back it in, back it out to make sure I'm going to get it back in there all right. Something doesn't fall over in the middle of the floor or something.
You know, last night I had the weirdest thing. Right before I went to bed, I started to feel like I was getting a cold. Mm-hmm. But I thought, okay, well, I didn't take any medication or anything for it. And I went to bed, and I woke up about 2 o'clock, And my throat was just, it felt awful. It felt sore. And I tried to get something to drink, and it just felt sore, and I tried to go back to bed. And all night, my mouth just felt like, you know, you get that cotton mouth?
Yes.
It just felt that way all night. And I finally got up this morning and got something to drink and brushed mm-hmm. my teeth and took a shower, and then it finally went away. And my throat doesn't hurt at all, and I don't know what that was. I don't know if I fell asleep with my mouth hanging open. I don't know what happened.
I found... The other night, I woke up, and I was going, I go, what on earth? I thought I was like a cat.
Yeah.
You know how they open up their mouth? And I thought, oh, Lord, no, I'm turned into a cat.
Well, my mouth has never been so dry. I don't know why it was so dry last night.
Well, my mouth was wide open, I think.
It must have been. And I don't know what that sore throat was, because now it's not sore at all. I don't feel any sore throat.
I don't know. Sometimes I dream things. I don't know if I dreamt it or if it really happened.
I might be a hypochondriac, though, because now I feel like I'm kind of congested, but I don't. My nose isn't running. I'm not sneezing or anything.
I've got the runny nose.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if it just was an allergy thing. I don't know if it was sleeping with your mouth open. I don't know what happened last mm-hmm. night. But it was not a good night's sleep, and I think that is what the bottom line is.
Right.
Is I did not get a good night's sleep.
I didn't sleep well last night either. I'm trying to think why, but I don't know why.
I just kept waking up, and every mm-hmm. time I woke up, my mouth was just so dry.
Mm-hmm.
And I had went and got some lemonade and, you know, thought I actually had to get up this morning, get something to drink, brush my teeth, get in the shower to get my mouth feeling good again. It was awful.
We need our mouths.
We got to talk.
Not have a mouth to be able to talk. I don't worry about being on the program or anything like that. I figure we'll think of something. You just kind of walk into it. You know, it's not anything that I worry about. I used to, but I don't anymore.
You know, I don't worry about the radio. The only time I ever worried about the radio was when I had to be on early in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I always was afraid I was going to oversleep, which then you don't sleep well because your mind is always thinking you're going to oversleep.
Yeah. And but, I did do that here the other night, going someplace, but I got there all right. Yeah. I got on time, and nobody knew I was pushed for time. But I thought to myself, I don't like for that to happen. I mean, I'm not going to lie down. I'm going to sit up when I know I have to go somewhere because I'm afraid I'll oversleep, and just that 10 minutes can make a big difference.
You know, I've noticed now I've become more of a nap person.
Me too.
I can take a nap.
I can too.
I never used to be much into naps.
Nope.
But I'll tell you now, if nothing's going on in the middle of the day and I'm at home on a Saturday, I can nod off. I can nod off sitting straight up.
Right, me too.
Just nod off.
You know,
right
the
off.
Interesting thing, when we were children, I was so active, and the doctor wanted me to take a nap somewhere along the line. And I used to sit with my hands like this, peering into everybody's eyes around there. Why don't those lazy people get up? I'm ready to go. And there they are, snoring away. And I didn't want to be there, but I had to be quiet. And boy, that just about killed me, to be quiet.
Well, the worst thing I did is in one of the rooms in the house I live in, I put a recliner in there. And boy, if I kick my feet up in that recliner and I'm watching something, I can be out in 15 minutes
mm-hmm.
and sleep for, an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
I
look at the clock and say, where did that time go?
Yeah.
I must be on a different time frame than everybody else.
Then when I wake up, I feel good because I've gotten mm-hmm. a nap in, and then I feel like, oh, I've wasted time, so now I got to do a bunch of things, and I try to cram them in. But, I think naps are good.
I think they are.
They say your heart beats less when you're mm-hmm. asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that must be good.
It must be.
You know, a lot of people have trouble sleeping at night.
Yeah.
And that's why they take naps during the day. Sleep the day away.
I really don't have I don't have time to sleep during the day. But I do. I'm going to bed earlier now because Penny does go to bed. I sleep on the main floor. She's in the lower level. So I don't see her. I don't hear her or anything like that.
Sleep is an interesting thing because it governs your whole life.
Right.
You know, if you don't get enough sleep, it can alter your mood, it can alter how you feel, it can alter your attitude, and it can alter your health.
Oh my, yes, yes.
When you were dealing in nursing, how big a problem was sleep?
I never got to sleep very much. Because when we were student nurses back in those olden days, and people said, well, we don't want to hear about them. Well, I'm sorry, you're going to hear about it. We did not have much time off because we were a small school, and when they needed help, we went.
Now, were you sharp in the later hours as you were in the early hours?
I never had a problem with that, never, never.
See, I was
easy to get up, and I easy go to sleep.
I was always worried about nurses who were on 12-hour shifts. Because I think, are they as good on at hour 12?
Well, I thought we were. We just went into 12 hours and didn't think about it.
Well, they say.
And I'm sure Charlie's here now, but in his work, you just kept on going. It energized me.
Well, you know, but in life or death work, I wonder, because they say the time that right now is the worst time to have a surgery done, because this is when all the interns start. In July.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They say the best time to have it's in the spring because the interns have been there almost a year. But the worst time is when the interns first come in. That's the worst time to have surgery is in the summer. I've heard that. I don't know if it's true.
I don't know if I agree or not. I don't know. I just worked. I didn't think about it. Did you, Charlie? I mean... If there's a job to be done, I did it.
Until somebody drops dead, you don't think about it. And then somebody drops dead and you say, well, maybe that wasn't the best thing to do.
What's your take?
What do you think, Charlie?
How many interns do surgery? Is this a physician intern or what?
Surgeons have to... People who become surgeons have to intern somewhere.
The one thing that affects surgery... is the weather, the barometer, air pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but would you want air who was brand new?
Well, I would say that they're brand new, all right. But on the other hand, they're washed carefully. They're very, very, very much involved. I mean, they're not just put in there.
I think one of the scaffolding is also the people who work there. You know, the people who come take your blood pressure, the people who come take your blood. They're new. They don't know. You know, it can turn into a... I don't know. That's just what I've heard over the years. We're going to take a quick break here, a 10-minute timeout. We're going to come back with Charlie and Marge and talk about the week that was. So stay tuned to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. For guests...